chapter 7. Jeremiah 7, we continue our message backward and not forward. Jeremiah 7 and verse 24 is our text, and we read the whole passage this morning, and we'll not read all of that again, but verse 24 is our text for tonight. Again, backward and not forward, but they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. Again, it is normal to grow. It is normal to grow as a child. It's normal to go from first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade and so on. When a child is not growing, when they're not going up in those grades, when a child is not able to walk by the time they reach a certain age, when a child is not able to speak by the time they reach a certain age, we would say that's abnormal. There must be something wrong. It is normal to grow as a Christian. Backsliding is abnormal. Being not growing as a Christian is abnormal. God wants us to go on. He wants us to grow. I believe with all my heart the most miserable person in all the world is a backslidden Christian. A Christian who they're saved, but they just are not growing. They did not grow, and instead they're going backward and not forward. And they're miserable. They cannot be happy. They cannot have joy. They are absolutely miserable. If you're here tonight and you are backslidden, if you are away from God, if your life would be characterized as going backward and not forward, then I would encourage you to come home. I would encourage you to get where you ought to be with God and to grow and to go forward instead of backward. And so the title tonight, Backward and Not Forward, Part 2, and the song was all about come home. Just get right with God. And boy, every Christian that gets right with God, these young people go to camp. And one of the great things about any kind of camp or conference is they get away. And when they get away from all kinds of stuff. And we're not saying you're bad parents or anything like that, but just all the stuff, all the things they get used to, and they get away, and they just get some time alone with the Lord. And boy, it's such an exciting time. It's such an exciting thing when we see and hear these decisions of folks getting right with God and getting things settled with God that maybe God's been speaking to them about for a long time. But like the children of Israel here, they hearkened not, but walked in their own way and decided, you know, I'm going to go my own way. And instead of going forward, they go backward. And sad to say, that is much of Christianity. That's many, many churches. And the reason it's many churches is because there are many Christians who are, instead of growing in the Lord, they're going backward, and therefore they would be backslidden Christians. This morning, we talked about what people are turning from. And I gave 4 points this morning. One, turning from worshiping God. And we look at Israel as our example of that, and many, many examples in Scripture about that. Turning from the Word of God. And Saul was our example. Of course, Israel did that as well. But Saul, when he was given a direct command of God, he turned from that Word of God, that commandment of God, and said, I'm going to do what I want to do and what I think's best. And of course, he was going backward and not forward. By the way, again, look at his life. Look at their lives. Look what God had to do to get them back and get them right. And then, of course, there was number three, turning from wanting God. And the Ephesians were an example of that, and how God said that they've left their first love. They don't love me like they loved me. And they didn't want God anymore like they did. And we talked about that. And then the fourth thing this morning was turning from waiting for God and waiting on God, waiting for God to work instead of trying to do it ourselves. And so many times we see that. The prodigal, of course, was our example of that, and how he wanted his money now. He didn't want to wait for it, didn't want to grow to get wise enough to be able to use it. And so many people get ahead of God. And when they get ahead of God, they actually end up going backward and not forward. You cannot do anything better than God does. You cannot do it in your life. You cannot do it in somebody else's life. We need to wait on God and wait for what he has for us. And of course, Israel was the other example of that. As Moses is receiving the commandments from God, Israel became impatient and just didn't want to wait and said, let's make our own gods. And of course, God had to deal with that. So we move on backward and not forward. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Please speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number five, turning from walking with God. We were walking with God. And for some, it was just the beginning walk stage of walking with God. But at any rate, we were walking with God. And then whatever happens, something happens. I mean, with David, he was a man after God's own heart. He was walking with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, of all people, David, who's a man after God's own heart, he had a wonderful walk with God. And he was very close to God. And he saw victory after victory after victory. And Goliath is slain. And David is promoted. And God's blessing him. And he's walking with God. And then all of a sudden, 2 Samuel 11 comes along. And boy, it's one of the saddest chapters in all the Bible. 2 Samuel 11 goes down in history. And for me as a new Christian, the first time I heard it, it was being preached on in a series by Pastor Bob Taylor when we were down at college. And he was preaching a series on David and on that. And wow, I mean, when I heard that for the first time about David's sin, it amazed me. Absolutely amazed me that the main thing that amazed me is that God would put that in the Bible. You know, I mean, wait a minute. David's one of our heroes. I mean, David's one of the guys we talk about. I mean, David, there's songs that are sung about David. And good night. I mean, how could we? And God tells us the ugly, ugly truth of somebody who's going backward and not forward. David. Remember I said he was walking with God? And he was walking and walking with God. But the Bible says that he sat down. Why? Because when kings go forth to battle, the Bible says David tarried in Jerusalem. David's the king. And if kings are going forth, where should David be going? He should be going forward, shouldn't he? But he sat down and he stayed home. And it led to adultery and eventually murder. Why? Because David was going backward and not forward. You'd be amazed. You say, oh, I'd never do that. You'd be amazed what you'll do when you're going backward. You'll be amazed what you can run into going backward. You'd be amazed what will happen to you as you go backward. You cannot begin to predict what is going to happen going backward. I mean, the thing is, as long as we're going forward, we know God is watching over everything and His plan is being carried out. As long as we take the steps of a good man that are ordered by the Lord, we don't have to worry about anything. If there's a valley, then that's God's will for my life. If there's a fiery place there, that's God's will for my life. If there's a mountaintop to climb, praise God, that's His will for my life. But going backward, I'm getting out of His will. Going backward, I'm headed for trouble. I just need to keep walking with God. And going backward, I get away from God. Just keep walking with the Lord. Many disciples did the very same thing. They went backward and not forward. Look at John 6 and verse 66. John chapter 6 and verse 66. The Bible says, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? I wonder how many times Jesus is looking down at His children, at you and I, and He's saying, will you also go away? As one after another walk away from the things of God. I'm talking about Christian after Christian after Christian. They had a walk with God. They spent time with God. They read their Bible with God. They lived for God. They obeyed God. And all of a sudden something comes up like it did with David. And they decided instead of walking with God, they'd sit down for a little while. Maybe they sat down in that seat of the scornful. Maybe they got in the path of someone who's wicked. I don't know. But at any rate, they went backward and not forward. And you know, one of the reasons that we do sometimes get away from walking with our God is that verse I gave in Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? And we find, you know, I can no longer walk with God because I don't agree with God because I don't like His plan. I submit to you tonight that if you don't agree with God, you're in dangerous, dangerous territory. You really are. But even more than the God's chastening, I think of what you're going to miss out on. As I always think about David and the verse, and I've preached on it before, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. And I always think, what was in the heart of God to give to David that he did not get? because he got away from God when he walked away from God. Backward and not forward. How much time have you lost going backward? How many souls have been lost because you went backward? How much have you lost? How much personally, how much loss have you experienced because you're going backward and not forward? I'm not getting after anybody who's done that and gotten right. And I'm just begging you, please, get right with God tonight. Come home tonight. Get it settled with God tonight. And instead of going backward and not forward, go forward and no longer backward. Number six, turning from watching God. Turning from watching God. Boy, you know, we first get saved, we just watch everything God does. We trust him. We believe in him. We've been saved a while, and I mean, we're just watching God. We're watching all that he does, and we're amazed. You know, whatever happened to God's people being amazed at their God? Whatever happened to God's people being excited about their God and what their God's going to do next? Whatever happened to God's people being excited about every week that goes by, they have an opportunity to serve God and watch God do great things? Whatever happened to God's people as a vacation Bible school is coming up, as a fair ministry is coming up, as all these ministries, all these things come up, where God's people are watching God to say, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do this year, God? What's it going to be this year? And I'm reminded of Peter in Matthew 26 and verse 69. Of course, Peter, you know, you talk about a guy that was on fire for God. I mean, you can't argue that. Matthew 26 and verse 69, we find Peter in a place that, you know, it's a shock to us. The Bible says that now Peter sat without in the palace. When is this? This is when Jesus is going through his false trial to be crucified. And if ever a man who said, you know what, I'll die for you, Jesus, what's Peter doing? It says he sat without in the palace. He's why aren't you with Jesus? Well, I was watching him, but now I've taken my eyes off of him. By the way, we should have an indicator of that. When Peter walked on water, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. I got news for you. You take your eyes off Jesus, you'll always sink. And you'll start going backward and not forward. And the Bible says about Peter, a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied. Wait a minute, this is the same guy that said, I'll die for you? This is the same guy that pulled out his sword when they came to get Jesus, and he swung his sword and cut off a guard's ear? He's ready to defend the Lord? Yeah, it's the same guy. But he denied. I know not what thou sayest. Verse 71, when he was gone out into the porch, he's still not watching Jesus. Another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. By the way, when you're not watching God, you start to be fearful of what man can do. You start to worry about what may happen with man. I'm seeing a lot of Christians today who, instead of keeping their eyes on the Lord Jesus, they're starting to be fearful of what all's going on and what man might be able to do to them. That's Peter here. I mean, this is the same Peter who yielded his sword to defend the Lord. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't what he was supposed to do. But he had some courage then. But all of a sudden, when he took his eyes off of him, things changed. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And then began he to curse and to swear. Isn't that what we do? Boy, they're starting to figure out I'm a Christian. I'll show them. And so we curse and swear and talk like them so that they'll never know. Yeah, that's when we quit watching God. And he said, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. By the way, before he went out and wept bitterly, the Bible says in the book of Luke, after he denied, I'm sorry, in the book of Luke, it says that maybe Jesus was passing by. After maybe the first time he denied Jesus, somewhere after that, Jesus maybe passed by him somehow. He was led from one place to another. But the Bible says this. It says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And I think their eyes met. Yeah, and all of a sudden he's watching him again. And I don't know if there's anything that makes you feel worse than when you betray the Lord. Yeah, but that's if you just keep watching him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep going forward. You get your eyes off of him, you go backward and not forward. And pretty soon you're sinking. Pretty soon you're denying him. You say, I would never deny him. But your speech will deny him. How you act will deny him. What you wear will deny him. What you talk about will deny him. What you watch will deny him. What you listen to will deny him. And it's all because we just aren't keeping our eyes on him. And we're so afraid of what everybody else might think. Turning from walking with God, turning from watching God. Number 7, turning from the ways of God. Proverbs 14 and verse 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 14. Certainly there are many, many examples of turning from God's ways. But here is a good verse about that. Proverbs 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A good example of backsliding is filled with our own ways. Well, I want to do what I want to do. I think this is what's best. There's so many that used to say, well, whatever he says, that's what's best. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And that is saying, I want the ways of God. I want all the ways of God. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I want his ways. But boy, we can quickly get out of that and go backward when we say, what about my way? What about what I want? And the world and the world system has gotten into religion, and it's gotten into church, and it's gotten into Christianity so that you can have your way. But understand, my way isn't necessarily his way. And we turn from the ways of God. I think, to me, the very best example of worldliness is the story of Noah's Ark. I think it is one of the greatest examples of worldliness. I don't think it's an accident that a raven went out first and a dove went out second to see if the land was dry. I've never, you know, every time I read that, I think about the world and I think about the world system. You say, what are you talking about? Well, the raven went out first. Now, you have to remember there was a worldwide flood and all the people were killed except those that were on the ark. All the animals died except those that were on the ark. All these animals, everything died. Everything has been drowned in the flood. And all these animals, all this decay, all of this death was floating on the water. And God sends out, or first, a raven is sent out of the ark to see if the land had dried up. And the raven flies around, and the raven takes off, and it stays out. Study your Bible, you'll find the raven is an unclean bird. A raven literally loves roadkill. I mean, a raven would have a feast out there on the water. I mean, there's bloated bodies of animals, there's bloated bodies of people. I mean, it is such a mess out there on the waters and in the waters, floating everywhere. I mean, the raven had a time flying around in all that garbage and all that mess. I mean, there's debris everywhere. The world has got, it's a mess out there, but the raven doesn't come back. I mean, the raven goes plucking eyeballs, you know, from person to person, just having a great time. He's having the time of his life in decay. He's having the time of his life in filth and slime and guts and goo and all of that, and he's having a time. He's content to fly among death, so he doesn't return. But you know, it's interesting about the dove. And the dove, of course, was present and symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. The dove is a clean animal. And the dove goes out and it flies out. And can you imagine that dove landing on a corpse? The raven saying, hey, look at this. Here's an eyeball here. Boy, he's having a great time. And the dove is not quite as excited as it gets its little feet in the goo of decay. And the dove, maybe he laughs a little. Yeah, this is fun. But deep down, The dove's not very happy with that. And I got news for you. I don't care who you are tonight. If you're saved and you're living a worldly lifestyle, you are not happy. I promise you, you're not. You may put on a show and you may like the sin and you know it's fun for a season, but maybe you're already starting to reap some of the results of that worldly lifestyle. And I got news for you. It gets old flying among death. It gets really old when you are life. God's given us eternal life. And it gets awful old being among, we need to go tell them and we need to try to win them. And I understand all that, but I got news for you. You want to plunge into their decay and the filth of the world. Understand, it's like that dove who maybe that first day acted like he was having a party. But boy, after a while he said, I've had enough of this. And the dove flies back to the ark. Absolutely miserable. You can say, oh yeah, this is good. And you know, what we do with our worldliness is we look around and say, well, everybody else is doing it, so it must be... Look, if everybody else is plucking eyeballs out of corpses, do you think you would find some joy out of that? I don't think so. If everybody else, hey, let's go to the cemetery and have a party. You know, we talked about that recently. Somebody said they did, but you know, it's just not. Let's dig up some graves. Let's have a good time. I know it's miserable. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Why do you think the dove came home? Why do you think the dove came back till there finally was greenery and new life there in the world? Well, the dove came back because the way of transgressors is hard. And the way of sin is hard. It's always going to be hard. I don't care what you think. Don't care what you say. You know people used to sit here. Hey, look, they're out there. There's tons of folks used to come to this church before I ever came. I'm talking about years ago. And their lives, because they decided to go backward and not forward, and they turned from the ways of God, and today their life is a total wreck. It ought to break your heart. But it all ought to also help us to wise up. The world doesn't have the answer for us. Going around and pecking at rotting corpses, that's not for God's children. Not at all. Maybe fun at first. And certainly, you know, the dove, I think about that dove out there, and that dove was like some of our high school kids. Woohoo! I'm free! Oh boy. Oh boy, woohoo, nobody's telling me what to do. I can go here or go there. There's a big old fat dead body. There's a skinny dead body. Woohoo! I can go from rot to rot and nobody can tell me what to do. I can peck away at every one of them. I can get my little feet and I can go through all the goo. I can do anything I want. But you know, by the end of the day, all that stink is with you. Not restricted by the rules of the ark. Oh, there were rules. It had walls. Kept the water out. I know. You know, we don't like those walls, do we? But you know, eventually, like the dove, you realize corpse to corpse, that's not God's will for my life. I need to follow God's way. God has abundant life for us. But you know, when we go our own way, we're going backward and not forward. Turning from the ways of God. Turning from walking with God, from watching God. Turning from the ways of God. Number 8 is turning from the wisdom of God. It's amazing. I'm watching things I never thought I would see among independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, where we don't think God's wisdom matters anymore. Look at Solomon as our example, 1 Kings 11. I mean, here's a guy that had wisdom. Here's a guy that had God's wisdom. I mean, if you ever want to know what it's like to have God's wisdom, then study the king named Solomon. Because God said to Solomon, I'll give you what you want. What would you like? And Solomon said, I want your wisdom so I can rule your people right. Boy, what a great thing. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for things. He didn't ask for land. He asked for God's wisdom. And in asking for God's wisdom, he got all those things anyway. And it's amazing when you've had the wisdom of God that you would ever turn from it. Amen. 1 Kings 11, verse 3. Absolute amazing passage right here. And he had 700 wives. Princesses, 300 concubines. And watch what it says. His wives turned away his heart. Verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And literally, he turned from the wisdom of God, and then he went backward and not forward. He had the wisdom of God. I mean, decisions had to be made, and Solomon went to God, and God gave him the wisdom so that we would call Solomon the wisest man that ever lived other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was turned by his wives away from the wisdom of God. By the way, today we see so many men turned by women. It's like they get a ring in their nose and they get led around by it. Honestly, it is unbelievable. And yet Isaiah said that that's how it would be in the last times. Now, women, honestly, we have nothing against you. I thank God for my wife all the time, and I praise the Lord for her. But I'm the guy that's accountable to God for her. And you know, it is so frustrating. Again, I know, I understand. You know, I know the song, "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar." And oh my, you know, all that stuff came out. And oh, that was just so, yeah, that's right. Well, we got this thing. You know, but that's not the way God intended it to be. You can amen, fellas. It'll be okay.
Well, I don't know.
I'm watching fellas be led away from the things of God more and more and more. You know, that's what the charismatic movement is. It's women. And they're leading the men. But are they really men? Well, that's a whole other subject. I don't know of anything more frustrating than instead of a man just say, "Hey, I'm making the decision. Here's what we're doing." But all she has to do is, you know, put on a little extra perfume. "Hey, big boy." And all of a sudden, he's totally away from God. Totally away from the wisdom that God could give him. And by the way, it won't be long, and she's going to be miserable because you have a spine like a dipped in milk Oreo cookie. And pretty soon, she dumps you. Huh? Yeah, it amazes me. I watch it. I've watched it as a pastor for years. I've watched it recently. Guys, not just men, guys, you know, the girls, "Come on, big boy." And all of a sudden, everything they ever believed, everything they ever did, phooey on that. I'm going to do whatever she says. Why don't you be a man? Why don't you grow a real backbone? And just be a man. That's what she needs anyway. Praise the Lord. I amen that. I think it's good. But we see it. And sad to say, turning from the wisdom of God it's our choice. You know, God gives us wisdom, and he wants us to have wisdom. And we get influenced. We get influenced by people to leave the wisdom of God. Boy, this is going to make some folks mad. I wish I had Facebook just tonight. Oh, I wish I could erase this part. Years ago, I've started several Christian schools, Brother Hollins. We started a Christian school in Indiana. We started a Christian school up in Flint. And am very involved in the starting of a Christian school or helping a Christian school get on the ground down in Louisiana. And you know, we had to ask ourselves a question. Why are we starting our Christian school? Just sit still for a second, all right? Just listen. Okay, if you walk out after this, because I want you to hear it. Why did we start our Christian school? Okay? Did we start our Christian school? Okay, did we start it for athletic program? Because we're going to eventually beat Notre Dame. Is that why we started our Christian school? I don't think so. I by the way, if we did for that reason, we're total idiots. Okay? At how much is tuition? $2,000 a student? Something like that? Versus $10,000 a student? Do we stand a chance? I say 10, it's probably closer to 15,000. That's what the public schools get per student, something like that. You're worth every dime. But I'm just saying, if we're trying to compete, okay, did we start our Christian school to compete with the public schools? That isn't why we started ours. I had to go back. I had to rethink this because of some people wanting to exchange God's wisdom. And I had to stop and I had to think about this. Is this now we're talking about independent fundamental Baptists here. Okay? Why did we start our Christian schools? Okay? We started our Christian school. We met in a house. Did we start because we have top-notch facilities? We didn't care about facilities back when we started. We took whatever we could get. Stay with me now. Right? I mean, I'm sorry, I've read the history of Berean Baptist Academy, and it used to rent its buildings, its rooms. It wasn't because we had the best facilities. We weren't even trying to have. We didn't start so we could provide the best facilities. Again, $2,000 versus $15,000. Why did we start them then? Well, we met in houses. We met in a little White House next to our church building. We rented rooms. We rented a big teen center, and we were able to use a big open room there for our PE class and all that. Why did we do it? What was our main? What was our reason for doing such a strange thing as having a Christian school? Oh, well, for me, because I put it on my little advertising and everything, it was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's the beginning? Okay, what was it? Was it science? Was it phys ed? Was it our athletic program? Well, wait a minute. What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. We just kind of thought back then, back when we were all old-fashioned, back when we were watching sex education come into our public schools. Remember when we were watching that all start? Remember when the first DAMN was in a book that our children brought home? Come on now, remember? Remember? Ha-ha! It's worse than that today. And we said, we think maybe our kids need the fear of the Lord. That's what we thought. We think maybe our kids need Bible class. We think they need preaching in chapel. We think maybe they need the fear of the Lord because that's where wisdom starts and that's where knowledge starts and that's why we started. That's why we started. Our kindergarten class was in our foyer. We had fake walls that we just temporarily set up, and five little children sat in little chairs, and they were taught as a Christian school, K-5, in a little foyer right off the main door, main entrance of our church, and that's how we started. And we were so happy. You know why we were so happy? Because our kids were getting the fear of the Lord. And we had textbooks that didn't have cuss words in them. We had library books, and we made sure they were reading material that didn't cuss and swear and talk bad about God. And we made sure their science books was teaching creation, and it was teaching that humans are sinners and need to be saved, rather that man is the measure of all things. And we were so happy. Remember when we were so happy about that? We really were. And that was the wisdom of God. We rented rooms. Facilities wasn't the main thing. Sports wasn't the main thing. Academics, that wasn't even the main. In fact, we here at Berean, they used ACE. Totally. Why? Well, because academics wasn't the main thing. It's important, but it wasn't the main thing. Some of you are rustling. Right now you feel it. Go ahead and feel back of your neck. The hair is standing up right there. It's all right. I've been doing that for months. Nay, years. Huh? Come on. Why did we start our Christian school? Why is it here? Why would our teachers work for what they get paid? Why would we add? You know, honestly, if I were to take away the Christian school, I was thinking how many hours that would add to my schedule. Maybe I'd go fishing. Honestly. Why do we do all that stuff? Over all these years we've done that. I've been involved in for years doing that. Why? Why do we lose so many church members because they get mad because Poindexter never does anything wrong? And Throcodelia never does anything wrong either. She's absolutely perfect. She's perfect at home. Oh, they fight all the time, but she's perfect at home when it comes to the teachers, because I got news for you. Those teachers are always wrong. Why do we deal with all that stuff? We don't have to have a Christian school, do we? Oh, unless God told us to, and it's because of the fear of the Lord. That's what it always was. That's what it used to be. Christian schools never started to compete with the public school. We're not in competition. I remember we started years ago, Faith Baptist Church in Bern, Indiana, and we started Faith Baptist Academy, and I got up and I said, we are not in competition with the public schools. We love our public school kids. We love Kayla. We love all our kids. We have more public school kids than we do Christian school kids here. By the way, the right church always will. Amen. That isn't it. We're not in competition. We're not trying to, we'll one-up them in this, and let's compare our scores with their score. There isn't anything to compare. How are their Bible classes doing? How's their preaching? How's the science department? When's the last time you learned about creation? I mean, learned about creation. You want to know a real eye-opening thing? If you digest and you study the SAT scores, we'll never do well in science. As long as we keep teaching the truth. The questions that are asked are based upon a humanistic philosophy, and they're based on a belief that man's great 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 grandpappy was an ape. But we didn't used to care. But we got turned from the wisdom of God. Do you know what's more important than anything? It's the fear of the Lord. Why do parents homeschool their kids? The fear of the Lord. I've watched parent after parent. I admire the Ingalls so much. I really do. Because they do it right. I've watched so many parents. You know, what's your qualification for teaching your child algebra? I love my child. And I want them to learn the Bible. That's my qualification. I say, hallelujah. And glory to God. Amen. Don't you think they'll suffer? You know, I think you're suffering. Because it never mattered. Hey, is the public school history class, are they teaching his story? Because that's where ours starts with. So we might get a little behind them as far as our view on social studies are concerned. Because we base it all on his story. All history is his story. That's what it's all about. Everything is. That's what our curriculum is all about. It's all about Jesus. Well, what's the problem with the world? Well, the problem with the world is the world's a bunch of sinners need to get saved. If they don't get saved, they're going to burn in hell. It all starts there. Yes, burn in hell. And that's the fear of the Lord. And boy, I can start getting wise now. But I can't get wise as long as I think that great-great-great-grandpappy's an ape. And we're all getting better and better. At least I'm not an ape. I'm closer to being done than you think. Just depends how intelligent people look. Do you understand secular humanism comes right out of hell? I mean, come on. We saw the book. It had the word D-A-M-N in it. And we said, we got to get our kids out of there. And now that's just not such a big deal anymore, is it? You don't care. I don't understand. Honestly, I don't understand. In other words, I'm going to put my children under 35 hours of humanistic philosophy. Now, I'm not saying there's not good teachers. There's some very good. I've got good friends in the public schools. So I'm not against them. I'm just saying the system. That's why we started Christian schools. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. You see, we teach in our Christian school, we teach, as far as our sex education class, we teach abstinence only. Amen. It's not an option. It's not an option. I say it's not an option. It's never an option. It's preached hard. It's preached behind the pulpit. It's taught in class. But I know a little Throckosphere gets upset. That's the female Throckmorton. Yeah, we're teaching and we're preaching. Not only teaching, we're preaching abstinence. We're preaching marriage. We're preaching purity. We're preaching it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And you think, well, go ahead, send them over there. They'll hand them a condom. You can get them. We used to get bent out of shape because they didn't ask our permission for them to take an aspirin, and now we don't care if they give them a condom? You gotta be kidding me. Well, it'll get them ahead. Uh-huh. By the way, as they're teaching that, they're also accepting abortion as birth control too. Read your sex ed books.
Well, they need an advantage in this economy.
How about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But years ago, we all believed that. People that paid the price at Berean Baptist Academy that started this school over at Adrian College, they understood that. That was the whole idea. It was never, well, we're going to have a football team that'll play the public schools and beat them. Ho, 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 ho. Really, at your little amount of tuition you charge? You can't even buy a helmet, right? And we can't. Well, we got to be able to compete with the public. No, we don't. That's never been the purpose, never been the idea. Never. Never was, and it should not be. You know what it is? It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. Backward and not forward. It's time for some folks to get their brains turned around. Amen. Number 9, turning from the work of God. Demas did it. He was in the work of God and he turned from it. 2 Timothy 4:10, just write it down. What happens when you turn from the work of God? Well, you go backward and not forward. But the worst thing that happens is the work doesn't get done. Do you know people are happiest when they're in the work? We'll have a lot of happy folks during Vacation Bible School. It's chaos. We try to make it at least organized chaos. Amen. But it's wild. It really is. We have a lot of unique things happen. By the way, there is a devil that hates it. But people are happiest when they're in the work. They always have been, always will be. You take most of the gripers and complainers that you know of, see what they're doing for God. Ain't much. That's Southern, Brother Hollins. You know, it just doesn't get done. Backward, not forward. Number 10, turning from the will of God. Jonah is our example there. Oh, the price we pay when we backslide. Years ago, I realized, you know, if I get on the ship going to Tarsus, I take my wife. I take my children with me. If I go backward and not forward, I take my wife with me. Somebody asked me, said, you've been a pastor a long time. You think you've been successful? Well, the person I've pastored longer than anyone in this world is probably the best Christian I know. So I guess that's success. That's my wife. But there's been a lot of times when that old temptation to go backward and not forward has been there, but I do not want to take her out of the will of God. We're so selfish. You know, well, but here's what I want to do. Yeah, but remember who you're taking with you. Just remember who you take with you. Peter thought he was alone. He wasn't alone. You think you're alone, somebody's going to go with you. Wife, husband, children. Yeah, somebody goes with you when you leave the will of God. Well, I just don't particularly like... Yeah, I understand that. And there's been a lot of things I didn't particularly like either. But when I thought about jumping ship, I thought of that sweet lady. And I thought of my children. No. I can't do that. And you know what? You need to stop and think. Turning from the will of God. Backward and not forward. Turning from worshiping God. Turning from the Word of God. Turning from wanting God. Turning from waiting for God. Turning from walking with God. Turning from watching God. Turning from the ways of God. Turning from the wisdom of God. Turning from the work of God. And turning from the will of God. And it's every time, it's just one thing. It's backward. And it's not forward. And God wants you to go forward. You say, I don't understand why things aren't going right. Could it be that you're going backward? Understand, the valley, when you go in the steps that God's directed, the valley's wonderful. It doesn't start out that way, but it ends up that way. You say, man, my valley's not too hot. Yeah, maybe you're going backward. Understand, okay, you've come to the Red Sea, you've gone forward, and now there's a Red Sea, and the Egyptians are after you, and I mean, you're in trouble, and you know you're in trouble, but have you followed the steps of the Lord? Then you can't help but know that He's going to part it. You just know He's going to part it. Or He's going to give you flippers and gills. I mean, You know, because you know Him, because you're watching Him. You've got your eyes on Him. You've been painted. You walked with Him. You've talked with Him. You know. And He's going to do something. Just go on. Walk. What's the song? Step into the water. Amen. Yeah, you just got to just go on. It's okay. Well, it's not very popular. Who cares? I want the wisdom of God. I want God's will for my life. I want to follow His ways. Backward. Not forward. Switch it tonight. Come home. Come home. They're coming after me. Come home. Amen. Go backward. You're in trouble. Go forward. God will bless you. He's got something great for you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one talking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, God's speaking to my heart. Pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. All over. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will in our lives. I pray we'd go forward and not backward. Please, please, work in some hearts tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.